I wonder tonight, did you know that there was approximately 80 children born every 60 minutes in the United Kingdom? Nearly in the time that we're here, we have 80 children that have been born. Every child that has been born into many different types of homes and environments. Within each child, there is a potential as such for greatness or to excel in life. Some will excel in academia. Some will excel in more hands-on experience and trades and things like that. But each one has the ability to grow and to develop even in this world that we have. As each mother and each father hold that child, I wonder really what plans they have for that child. What expectations do they have? And maybe tonight, if you're a parent, what was the expectations that you had? What plans did you put in place even for your child? Some, I am sure, have the world mapped out for them, what school they might want them to go to. In fact, some people even go and live in certain districts just so they'll be close to a certain primary school so their child can get enrolled in that school. Some will have secondary schools picked out for them. Some will have universities and the route that they would love them to take. I wonder if they thought even of their career or of a business that they want them to be involved in. Recently, I was speaking with a man and he was telling me of his experience and how he traveled the world, him and his wife. They had spent some time in Dubai, and then whenever their children were born, they started to put plans in place. And with that, they come back to Belfast with the plans there of educating their children. What plans did you have? Or what plans do you have tonight for your kids? Let me just even put it another way. What plans have you got even for your own life tonight? Each one of us have that potential to excel and for greatness in so many different ways. But we also have that potential to see our lives shipwrecked, our lives destroyed as well. In many cases, we will see lives that have been destroyed. They have been destroyed through even that whole thing of bitterness. We've seen families destroyed through divorce. We've seen families destroyed through adultery. We've seen families destroyed through drugs and drink. As we see, even as we look across our society, how many have been blighted in so many different ways. How some have been caught up with greed, gambling, fallen into debt, and their lives have been destroyed tonight. This past week, I spoke to a mother, three children, and struggling financially. Many people out in our society may be struggling to stay above that line as such, things that are going on in life. I was drawn even to this biblical story, this story which has become known even as the prodigal son. I was drawn to it after a mother spoke to me as she talked about her wayward son. She was lamenting the difficulties that she was having as such with her son. She and her husband had sought best, as best they could, to bring him up in the right way and to direct him to live a godly life. And so it might be, just because you bring your children to a place of worship, it does not mean to say that they will go in the right way. You will seek for God's help. You will seek for God's guidance. But her son had decided to go in a different direction, and her heart was breaking. Maybe tonight you're worried about your children. Maybe tonight you're worried, and maybe tonight where your children are. Not in the house of God. They are nowhere where God might be. They have no thought of salvation. They have no thought of eternity. In situations like that, there seems to be nothing that we can do in the physical sense. There's nothing which we can do to change minds. In fact, sometimes the more that we seem to push, the more that the person will push back. But you know, God's word always has encouraged us, even to come to his word and to do certain things. In Psalm 3, I believe, is one of the greatest little psalms that really encourages us on what to do. And in that it says, I cried. And tonight, if you're a parent tonight and you're worried about your son, then I would say to you, cry unto God. Because God says in that psalm that he hears. I cried, he heard. And that psalmist was going through a difficult time in his life. So much so that he knew and he cried out. And yet he was still able to say that God heard him. And because of God hears us, we can leave the troubles, we can leave the trials with him tonight. And with that, the psalmist also said, I slept. You see, he knew the peace that passeth all understanding. And he was able in that moment of difficulty to cry to him and to know that God heard him. And yet, he knew that peace. And yet, in all our sleeping, God also, it says that there that not only did he cry, not only did God hear him, not only did he sleep, but he awakened, for the Lord sustained him. It is the Lord that draws alongside us. It is the Lord that we're there to lean upon him. And you see, tonight as we think in those things of all the expectations we might have of a family, I am quite sure as we look at this passage that the man in this passage and his wife, the mother of the child, I am sure they had the same expectations. They had godly desires for their children. But this story is a story of great sadness. This story takes a young man down into the very depths of sin. But yet, it doesn't keep us there. It brings us right up into that place of joy. It brings us to a place where we see a change in the life of the young man. And to tell us tonight that there is hope in families. There is hope for our children. There is hope in salvation. Firstly, I want you to see, as we look in this passage tonight, I want you to see the rebellion that there is in it. See, each one of us has that ability. Each one of us has that tendency to fall into rebellion. I'm quite sure you know, in the very heart, as a sinner, we have that rebellion in our heart. See, way back in the Garden of Eden, it says there in Genesis chapter 1 and the verse 27, it says there, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb, every seed which is upon the earth, upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And also it says in the verse 31, and God saw that everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. In the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Look over to chapter 2, verse 16. It says there, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in that day thou shalt eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You see, God gave him a field of freedom. God said, here is all these trees. Here are all the ones that you can eat from. But yet around that field of freedom, he put rules, he put borders, he put boundaries for man. And he said, thou shalt not eat of this tree. But what did man do? Chapter 3. And the verse 2, it says, first of all, talking there about the woman. The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. There's the field of freedom. There's the boundaries. But in verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. How they rebelled against God. How mankind rebels against God. You know, sometimes coming to church, they stop coming. Sometimes they want to go out and enjoy life and party and all those things that go with it. They take their first alcohol, they take their first drugs, they rebel against God, they rebel against parents. See, we dislike the restraints that seems to be upon us. The reality is that the rules of life are really not for our freedom. That's what we'd feel. But they are. They're there for our enjoyment. They're there for our goodness. Imagine if we had a country with no laws. Imagine. No laws. We would have a society that would be falling apart. The poem entitled Invictus by William Ernest Henley was made famous by Nelson Mandela. One of the verses reads, "It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." That word invictus, as in Latin, means unconquered. It has the idea of being invincible. See, this young man felt that he was the captain of his soul. This young man was going to take control of his life and get away from his father and mother. They would have no longer any restraints in him, any control in him. He would have nothing to do with them. He would be free. Free to do whatever he wanted. He wanted to be a self-made man. I remember one time somebody said, well, at least that would relieve God of his responsibilities. But so many people we realize today in our world, our society, they just want to be in control of their own life. This young man asked for a share. This young man asked for what was his inheritance, which he had a right to as such. Within the framework of the family, he had a right to 1/3 of it. How the warning signs of his rebellion were there. You see, he was the one who wanted, and it was all about him. How so often we can look back even at that portion of Scripture in Isaiah 14 and the verse 12 that says there, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground whilst it is weakened the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of the sky. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." And so it is tonight as we think of even this young man, how he wanted to be in control, how he wanted life. See, look at verse 12 of our reading. "And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He divided unto them his living." He divided to both of the sons. But look at that verse 13. "Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." I often wonder, why did he wait? Why did he wait for that time? Not many days. A period of time. Maybe a time of preparation, what he was going to do. Maybe he never thought he was going to get the money. But what was he doing? Setting plans, taking control. See, he left. He had a plan of some sort. And the main part of that plan was to escape the very restraints of home. And many times our young people want to leave the restraints of home. No longer want to be under the constraints of a godly home. This young man wasted. He wasted all. He spent it all. You know, Proverbs 18 and 9 says, "He also that is slothful in work is brother to him that is a great waster." This man wasted it all. Wasted it all. One of the commentators mentioned, he says, "He that wasteth his father destroys his substance by riotous or extravagant living, so as to embitter his latter end by poverty and affliction." This young man was on the track downwards. This young man was on a track away from God, away from family, to get a control of his own life. Riotous living. He spent it all. No concern for the future. None whatsoever. Look at chapter 15 and verse 30. "But as soon as this thy son was come, thou hast devoured thy living with harlots." And see, this is what the riotous living was. He had taken no thought of the future. He just wanted to live it up. And I wonder tonight how many people we know want to live it up. live it up without God. See, we get among the wrong friends, don't we? It says that he wasted his living substance with riotous living. He'd gather around him friends, help them spend it, of course. How many times we hear that we become the average of the five people we spend the most time with. You know, if we see the friends of someone, you can tell what that person is really like. What is it people say, that little saying, birds of a feather flock together. Scavengers. That's what this society was to him. This is what was happening. And they would strip him clean, be left with nothing, as if there was a dead carcass, and the birds would just feed upon him till nothing was left. You know, sin takes us all further than we want to go. Some people start out just with the one drink, and before they know, they're alcoholic. Some people start out with that first bet, and before they know, they're gambling every single day. There's a gambling place in Oma. They even pay you to come in the morning, early on, to get you started. They'll feed you. If you want to stay at your machines, you can stay there, and they'll bring you the tea, they'll bring you the coffee, they'll bring you the biscuits, just so you keep gambling. Or the young man who took his first drug, never thinking that would leave him without his health, his family, and his job. He spent all. Nothing was left financially, and nothing was left spiritually in that sense. This young man is at his very lowest ebb tonight because of a rebellion, and it looks to be no hope. No hope. In fact, it even says there that there was a famine. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Where's all his friends now? Where's all the things that he had? Everything was gone. How much lower can he go? Well, lower, it went in there in verse 15, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. A Jewish young boy feeding swine. Oh, he had went low. He had went low. And I wonder, where are you tonight? Do you find yourself in the piggery of sin tonight? If you have, then you're in the very lowest of the low part of your life. He even went that low. He had nothing that he would even fill his belly, it says, with the husks that the swine did eat. That's all he had. That's all he had. And how the devil, he just takes us and rips us apart and leaves us with nothing and just feeds us with the husks, the things for the pigs of this world. No one gave to him. And so it is, the devil takes you and promises you many things, but soon you have nothing. We see Adam and Eve, look at that, left with nothing. But this young man, look at verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. You see, this young man was caught in rebellion, but there was a realization here. He come to a realization. There was a light as such in his heart and his soul that he realized that there's something better. I don't have to be here. You know how we are reminded even of Saul of Tarsus. Remember, he walked that road to Damascus, and suddenly there shined around him a light from heaven, realization of Christ. Remember the story when the two malefactors on the cross, which railed on Christ, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answer rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, saying thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, but we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You see the realization that happened to this malefactor, hanging on a cross, nothing to live for. Two of them, one turning against Christ and the other turning to Christ. Yes, this young man, was in a terrible place. It says there in that verse 17, I perish. He understood. He had realized where he was in life. He realized that he was a sinner as such in that state. And we know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Tonight, do you realize that you're a sinner? Do you realize tonight in your state you perish? There's no hope in and of yourselves. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. See, this young man, in his realization, he realized he was to perish, but he also realized something else. He realized that his father had plenty. His father had plenty. His father had provision for him. He realized where the goodness was. He realized where the food was. He realized that there was someone to look after him. And so it is tonight. We've got to turn to Scripture. We've got to see where true salvation is tonight. We've got to see to turn from that state of perishing to that state of eternal life. John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I perish with hunger. And look at that verse 18, I will arise and go to my Father and say unto him, he's going to ask the Father. He's going to seek the Father. He's going to knock on the door of the Father. He's going to return to the Father. And he's going to tell him, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. See, he was taking personal responsibility. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He knew that he had sinned. He knew that he turned away from the Father. See, Christ is that pathway. Christ is that way. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You can't come any other way tonight. You cannot come with your works tonight. You cannot come with your church. It's good to be in church. It's good to do good works, but it doesn't get you to heaven. Your baptism doesn't get you. Your sacraments don't get you. It's impossible tonight. It is only by that repenting, that turning of self, that turning from self to God tonight. There needs to be that 180-degree turn. Christ said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Are you a sinner tonight? Do you need to repent tonight? You need to turn from self to Christ. The Bible tells us to repent, ye, and believe the gospel. The good news tonight that Christ died for sinners. 2 Peter 3 and 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. This young man had left, an arrogant young man, I believe. He left for the whole world as if he was going to make it in life. But now he's had a turn. Now he's been humbled. Now he's been brought low. Now he's been brought even into that piggery tonight. And with humility, he comes to the Father. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Verse 19, make me as one of thy hired servants. He said, I'm not worthy. I have no merits of my own. And as a sinner tonight, you have no merits for salvation. In Isaiah 64 and verse 8, it says, all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Tonight you're worthless. You have nothing. You have nothing to bring. How he had to come with humility. There was his rebellion. There was his realization. And lastly and very quickly, there is his return. There is a change that happens. Look at verse 20 of the chapter. And he arose and he came to his father. And when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Look at that story tonight. Look at the picture that we see there. He arose. He turned his back on his life, his old life. He turned back on everything that he had, he thought he had, that was worth and it was worthless. And he headed towards his father. The father saw him. The father saw him. This man was waiting. And I wonder how many days he waited. How many times did he walk to the end of his farm and look out, looking for his son's return? He had compassion on him. It says there. It means he pitied him. Turn with me briefly to Psalm 86, please. Psalm 86. In the verse 5, Psalm 86 and verse 5, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." Verse 15, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." Here's a father who had compassion. Here's a father who was with mercy waiting for his son. He ran to him. Notice it was a father who ran. I was speaking to a man recently, or some time back, sorry, and he was telling me that some of the cultural issues that may be of that time, because of his son and his rebellion against the father, there may be other people who would dislike the son. There's other people who might have been violent towards the son. And by the very fact that the father ran and hugged him and kissed him, that would have been a safety and security even for him. You see, there was a time whenever we were yet without strength, it says in Romans 5 and 6. And in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for us tonight. It says he fell on his neck. Oh, what love that must have been. Think of it even in a practical sense. Where did the son come from? He came from among the pigs. He came with all these rags on him. But the father fell on him. The father kissed him. The sign of affection tonight. This young man acknowledged his sinful state. Look at that verse 21. "I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son." He acknowledged his sinful state. He acknowledged his lack of worthiness. David in Psalm 51 and verse 4 said, "Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." See, we need to see our sin in the light of Christ tonight. I was speaking to a person one day. We were talking about repentance. Talking about being sorry for sin, and this person was sorry for sin. But it wasn't in repentance. Yes, she was sorry for the results of sin. She was sorry for her life had become. She was sorry of that, and she loved to have turned away, but she wasn't willing to turn to Christ. You see, there's a change that happens here. Look at verse 22. But that word "but" always is a change of direction. "But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring in his hand and shoes on his feet." That robe reminds us of that robe of salvation in Isaiah 61 and verse 10. "My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation." Our rags of righteousness are removed and the robe of salvation is put on, cleansed in the blood of Christ. That ring is a mark of honor. That ring is a mark of wealth tonight to that son. The very shoes that he wore tonight would have told him that this young man was no longer a slave. All of these things demonstrate that he was brought into the family. You know, adoption is the act of God's free grace whereby we are received into the number and have a right to the privileges of the sons of God. This young man had all the privileges as a son. This young man was brought, not only was he clothed, not only was he given the garments, not only did he have the ring, not only was he given the shoes, but look at that verse 23. "Bring forth the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." This man was brought into a party to celebrate, a party of joy in his salvation as such. And even how the father had to say to the other son, "It was meet that we should make merry," verse 32, "and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. In Luke 15, verse 10, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. Oh, will you turn to God tonight in salvation? Will you repent? See, we're called to that marriage supper. We're called to that place of God's saints. Where are you tonight? Are you living in that place of rebellion? The place in opposition against God? Remember, Luke 19 and 10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Just like the Father, he's standing today. He's waiting for you. He's watching for you. I was recently asked what it meant, what it took to be saved. See, there needs to be that realization. There needs to be that realization that you're a sinner. There needs to be that realization that there's nothing that you can do for yourself, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. There is that need to turn to Christ in repentance. Well, this young man took personal responsibility and he turned his life as such in that way. Brought under conviction. And turning, we ask for forgiveness. We come tonight empty-handed to a Savior. No merits, nothing in our hands we bring. Simply to the cross of Christ we cling. It is Christ who saves. It's time, young person, it's time, older person, to return and to come to the Father through Christ. We're to do it now. We have no promise of tomorrow. You have no promise even to get home tonight. You're to do it now. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We'll bring our meeting to a close tonight in the singing of that hymn number 289. 289. I'm going to sing just the first three verses of this hymn, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. In my early days, growing up in Ballymoney Free Presbyterian Church, on a Sunday night, this hymn was used regularly to bring people to that place of been solemn, to bring people to that place of thinking of being saved. And tonight I say to you, as we sing this hymn, just as I am without one plea, for that thy blood was shed for me, that thou bids me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Oh, we cry to you tonight to come. Don't come to me. Don't come to a church. Come to Christ tonight. Verse 1, 2, and 3, please. Let's stand as we sing. just with our heads bowed. That verse 4 says, just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Oh, our prayer would be that you would come tonight to Christ in salvation. Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, even for this chapter in thy word. Thank you, Lord, for this biblical story. A story, Lord, of how a man can fall into the very depths of sin and yet be brought in to the family of God. Thank you, Lord, for thy mercy. Thank you, Lord, for thy love. Thank you, Lord, for that day whenever you ran toward us. You threw your arms around us, you embraced us, you kissed us. Lord, you put on us the very robe of righteousness. Thank you, Lord, you put on the very ring and the shoes on our feet. Thank thee, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Keep us safe, Lord, thy people. And Lord, for those who are yet without a Savior, God, we pray that before they finish this night, Lord, that they would get saved and come to thee in salvation. Bless us now, Lord, as we part one from another. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen.